have a seat. Appreciate that. Thank you. Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24. I think I'm going to be really nice today, but you never know. Genesis chapter 24. I'm going to preach on the subject, finding a wife for Isaac. Finding a wife for Isaac. I'll let you settle down before I go any further. I came to college in 1981, and I won't tell you when I graduated, but I got a lot of good information here at Hiles Anderson College. My life was literally transformed. I had good classes. I got a tremendous education from the bus ministry. I got a diploma, but the best thing that I ever got from Hiles Anderson College is sitting in the back row right there, that blonde that is smiling from ear to ear. Her name is Tina. And more than anything that ever took place here at Hiles Anderson College, she has helped to transform me. Most of what I'm going to say today is going to be directed to the guys, but it's going to apply to you ladies also. I feel the Lord, and I will confirm it with him, is laying upon my heart to bring back-to-back messages on this subject of dating. And whom you marry is going to determine a lot of the quality and success of your life. You better do it right. You only get one chance, unless you break God's covenant. And I don't think God's going to be very happy with you if you do that. I think marriage is a wonderful thing. Marriage can be challenging. Marriage has its difficulties, but when two people are committed to loving each other and making it work, it works. And again, I'm going to bring some principles here from Genesis chapter 24. And if you're familiar with that chapter, the entire chapter is a narrative. It just tells of a story. It lacks the commandments, and it lacks the declaratives of Scripture. And so there's a few things that we can get out of that. First, we can build principles on the narrative Scripture. That's what we're going to do. And those principles give us boundaries that keep us safe. I don't plan on ripping on you guys. The truth is, I believe some of the next generation's great leaders are coming from this room right here. And that is not a statement. I believe that. I've watched many of you young men, and it's just like, boy, God's going to do something with this person. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we're going to read from Genesis chapter 24. Father, I pray that you'll help us now. I pray that each will listen attentive and learn some things that I have learned from you, learn from my 34-plus years of marriage, and learn some things that I have counseled with untold number of people in dating and marriage. God, help me. May your Spirit control me. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis chapter 24 will begin in verse 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant, who probably most likely was Eliezer, of his house that ruled over all he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country and my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Look down to verse number 14. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, and I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that has appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that, behold, Rebekah came out, who was born of Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And then let's move on to verse number 50. same chapter. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, "The thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken." And then lastly, verse number 67. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. On a regular basis, students will come down and run some names by me, or they will vent their frustration. And many times it's young ladies who are just frustrated that nobody is asking them out. And I can understand that frustration. Now, personally, as the president of Hiles Anderson College, I love it when you date. I think it's a morale builder. I mean, girls are happy, and when the girls are happy, everybody is happy. That's true here at Hiles Anderson College. That's true in marriage, isn't it? When the wife is happy, the whole family's happy. So we want to keep you girls happy. But you girls got to understand that frustration is not the answer. And the truth is, frustration is revealing that you're just not trusting God to provide you a husband. So I'm going to give you some things here why you need help. Number one, you're frustrated. And frustration is not going to help you. Number two, you don't know what you're looking for, even though you think you do. Okay, be careful with that one. Don't get mad at me. I will help you. Most Christian young adults date based upon physical features. And that, my friends, is a great mistake. It's an added bonus, but there's nothing here. Isaac didn't even go look for the bride. Abraham sent his most trusted servant. Next, you use your inherited carnal nature to decide whom to date, most of you. Meaning your hormones, your brain chemicals, dopamine, oxytocin, and endorphins, combine with essential emotions such as lust, attraction, and attachment. And all this can make you a candidate to be an emotional idiot. You're not thinking right. You're just not thinking right. And I hope I have your attention now, because you really need to take heed. And again, in this day, the culture was arranged marriages. And thank God we no longer live in a culture with arranged marriages. Although sometimes I think some young people need a little bit of help, or a lot of help, in this area. Number four. This is all under why you need help. Because you spend too much time emphasizing finding the right partner instead of being the right partner. Now, let me make a statement here. You're not going to find a perfect person to date. They're not there. Girls, let me address you specifically on here. Your role is to complete that guy. And I know you want Mr. Handsome, Mr. Machismo, Mr. Talented, Mr. Don Juan, Mr. Jack Hiles, all wrapped up into one. They're not here. You got to help them. Now listen very carefully. I wish, Tina, I wish we could go back into the archives of pictures in our albums and put my picture up on the big screen there when I was a freshman. And I was rather on the dorky side. I was a little bit clueless to this culture. No comments on that. I have several pictures of me as a bus captain, and I bought all my suits at AmVets, and my sleeves were literally down to my knuckles. To the point, the first time I met Mrs. Douglas's parents, her mother took her aside and she said, "Poor guy. We need to help him." And her parents went out and bought me a suit, and then they gave me cash to get it tailored to where the sleeves could come to where they were supposed to. And so I had one suit that fit me. Now listen, that was just the way I was. I was not brought up in a Christian home. We wore, where I grew up, population 250 in the middle of the Cascade Mountains, we just wore blue jeans and flannel shirts. And by the way, I was very happy back in those days too. Point number one, Abraham's actions were based upon revelation. Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 and 3 is the passage where God had promised to make Abraham a father of a great nation and bless all nations through him. So it wasn't difficult to conclude that Abraham's son must himself marry and bear children. Thus, while not a specific command, it was the will of God for Isaac to marry. And Abraham was well into age right now. Sarah had already passed on. And he said, listen, I remember that promise God made to me, and I've got to get Isaac going here. Now, God reveals to men here, too, a special revelation. Can I read that special revelation to you? Here we go. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmate. Those same words are repeated in the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Luke, and the book of Ephesians. Four times God emphasizes this. It is not good for man to be alone. And God will provide you a helpmate or a woman who will be suitable specifically for you. I found my helpmate in 1983. I married my helpmate in 1984. And my helpmate has been helping me for 34 plus years. They're out there, guys. She's out there right now. It's not good for you to graduate and be single and then wait around and get stupid. I'm serious. I'm dead serious. The number one reason young men won't date, you want to guess what it is? Lack of confidence. Fear, lack of confidence. And I want to challenge you, man up. Man up. Now I'm going to admit something. 35 years ago when I was looking for a wife, first of all, number one, I was motivated. Number two, I was going to get one way or the other. And her bus captain came to me, and her bus captain said, I know who you should date. And he said, my lady bus worker. And I said, she's dating somebody. You've heard this story. And he said to me, what are you, a man or a mouse? Okay, that was a challenge to me. I said, I'm a man, and I will ask her out, all right? Now, her guy that she was dating wasn't real happy with me. And they had only started dating, only had a few dates, but anyhow, I won't say much more about that, but let's go back to the revelation. So God said it is not good for man to be alone. Malachi 2:15 said, and did not he make one? Yes, had he the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one? That he might seek a godly seed. Therefore, take heed to your spirit. Let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. What's God saying there? He's saying the purpose for marriage is to sustain the faith seed. Just like he told Abraham, you're going to be a father of a great nation, so that means Isaac has to carry it on. And then the next has to carry it on. The next has to carry it on. You may say, well, the purpose of marriage is procreation. No, that's something about marriage, and that's a great thing to raise family. But the purpose spelled out here is that you may get married, have children, train and nurture them in the admonition of the Scripture, so they may do the same, so the next generation does the same, and the next generation does the same. You can't do that if you won't date. So it's a very simple thing. It is a command. Now, are there exceptions? Yeah, God calls some to be single for their entire life. And that's not to be made fun of. If it's a calling of God, it's a calling of God. But for the most part, he's got a purpose for you. And gentlemen, you need a wife to do so. So number one is Abraham's actions were based upon revelation. Number two, know what time it is. I'm not talking about the time up there. I'm talking about what time in your life. And we go back to chapter 24, verses 1 through 4. And Abraham said, it's time. It's time for Isaac to find a bride. Can I just say to you men, it's time. It's time to start the process. You need to take every excuse and bury the excuse and start seeking your mate for the rest of your life. Now, girls, don't get nervous. I still will not set girls up here. And I think that's embarrassing. Some people do it, but I'm not going to do that. But you guys need to get with it here. All right, here we go. Abraham knew that it was time for Isaac to find a wife, and it's time to find your life's mate. You won't have an effective ministry without a godly wife. Stop making the excuses. Start the process. What a wonderful time. It is harvest days on Saturday. It is not too late to ask someone out for a day. Next, seek your Eliezer. Eliezer was Abraham's chief servant, according to Genesis chapter 15, verse 2. He ruled over all that Abraham had. Abraham knew the importance of the right wife for Isaac. He called upon his most trusted servant to carry out the task. Once again, the culture that we read from in Genesis chapter 24, there were arranged marriages. We have went the polar opposite now to where Christian young people feel they don't need any help. Now, that would be a very foolish thing to do. Now, again, a few disclaimers. Many of you, some of the things that I will say, I will even challenge myself, but here's the point I'm trying to make. You have good, godly parents that are in touch with you. They are in touch with who they want for you. You have a pastor back home. You have a youth pastor back home that has given you instructions. And many pastors and many parents will say, do not date your freshman year. I have zero issues with that. I think it's a pretty good idea. But if you don't have those mandates, then at least date once or twice during your freshman year. If you're 18 years of age and you're emotionally not connected with everything and your gentlemen, your brain hemispheres are not connected with each other, then you fall in love and all those chemicals that I talked about will really make a fool out of you. You've got to pace it. You've got to be very careful. Two young people, 18, 19 years of age, falling in love with each other without any direction or guidance, because that in itself is very exhilarating. And be sure, the chemicals of the brain do have a huge part of physical attraction. And if you're controlled by those chemicals, they can get you in trouble. Isaac, left to himself, may never have found Rebecca. And Abraham knew that, and that's why he said, Eliezer, I've got a big job for you. I want you to put your hands under my thigh. I want you to swear you will go to my country and you will find him a bride. And he did so. He trusted God. The first pretty girl and the first woman that he met, Isaac probably would have said, that's the one right there. Canaanite woman, no Canaanite woman. I like her. That Samson effect. Dad, Mom, go get her because she's beautiful. And once again, everything I'm saying right now is so counterculture. You think, well, I've got to have a pretty face, and I've got to have a handsome face. What you need is somebody that has godly character. Amen. I feel personally I got both. And you may get both. And by the way, I'm going to get ahead of myself, but look what happened to Isaac when he turned everything over to the Lord. We're going to find out later she was beautiful. Let's move on. Let me make this statement. Who you date should not be determined by your roommates. Way too much counseling amongst yourselves. And can I just pause here for a second? There are some really good people in this room who have been trashed by people out here because of jealousies, because of immature perspectives, and you talk about each other. Can I remind all of you, this is a very small community. It's just not wise to post stuff on Facebook that embarrass people. It's not wise to trash the person that you go to class with and you go to chapel with. The best thing you could say is, why don't you go see one of the vice presidents? Why don't you go see Pastor Wilkerson? Why don't you go see Brother Douglas? Why don't you go see somebody who's been married 30 or more years? That would be more suitable. You don't have to comment on it. Let's move on. Arranged marriages were part of the culture. Modern times have taken the polar opposite. In other words, don't tell me who I should date. Don't tell me who I should marry. Isaac didn't find his wife alone, and neither should you. One sure way to walk in foolishness in a romantic relationship is to date someone who troubles the godly counselors in your life. Can I say that again? One of the sure ways to walk in foolishness is a romantic relationship is to date someone who troubles the godly counselors in your life and your parents also. I'm going to tell a story, and I'll tell it because Mrs. Douglas has told this story, but before she came to Hiles Anderson College, she was engaged. And somebody that she met there in her home church, her pastor, her pastor's wife, and her parents did not want her to continue in the relationship. And they communicated that to her. But because of all the oxytocin and all the chemicals on the brain that create that really strong attraction, she couldn't see it. And several things happened in her life to where it became incredibly obvious she was not dating the right person. They were engaged. She broke the engagement off. Now, do you understand, from what I have heard, from what she has told me, and I've never seen a picture of the guy, but I'm sure he was not as handsome as I was. Right? He was a bodybuilder. I weighed 145 pounds when I came here as a freshman. I was a stick. So she went the polar opposite. But my point is, listen, where would she be right now? Where would I be? And so I'm trying to communicate to you. These are not commands. These are not declaratives. These are good principles to live by. That you can take them or you can leave them. But if you take them, you're going to be safe. If you leave them, you're throwing the dice. Let's move on. Abraham knew Isaac couldn't be trusted with a task that had eternal implications, and whom you marry will have eternal implications. Thank God John and Linda Wilkerson married each other. Thank God. The temptation of the Canaanite woman was there. The temptation of physically attractive but spiritually inadequate women were all around Isaac. It wasn't though he lived in the middle of a desert without other women there. There were Canaanite women. And I'm sure that many of them were very attractive. Genesis 24:60 said, "And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, Thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them." My point with reading that verse is she knew, and those around her knew, that she was going to be a mother of millions, thousands of millions. You want to start your family off right? Date right. You want your children growing up being godly young children? Date right. Yes, it is a fact that there is a physical attraction that I'll call chemistry that can really draw you to a person. That is the last element on the list that should make you decide who and who not to date. Let's talk about that. The decision whom you marry is much bigger than the chemicals that stir your senses. Here are the four elements that a lasting relationship must have. Number one, character. Godly character. What is that? That's your moral qualities. That's honesty, hardworking, caring, strength, conviction, and an obvious love for the Lord. That is the first thing. Do you understand that each and every one of us in this room can be physically attracted to somebody that may not even be your spouse? Do you understand that married people can be attracted to single people? Single people could be attracted to married people just because of our carnal and our primal instincts? And do you understand that if you follow those chemicals, they can take you down a path that you never intended to take? And then you look back and said, what was I thinking? And by the way, those chemicals wear off too. Let that wife have a few babies, gain a bit of weight, and for somebody who married based upon chemical attraction, physical attraction, it's all over. So we start first with character. Are they honest? And in my book, if a boyfriend or a girlfriend lies to you, that is a red flag. It is done. It is over. You lied. I've got other red flags too. I think in dating, you need to be committed to the one that you are dating. If you're starting to go steady, and that means you shouldn't be flirting around, looking around, and spending time, girls with other guys and guys with other girls. Do you understand dating is the first process, the first step in finding a lifetime mate? But I don't think we get it sometimes. I'm giving you biblical principles here that will help you to understand. So we start with godly character. Two, we go to compatibility. There's four C's here. Character, compatibility, communication, and chemistry. Chemistry is the last on the list. But in reality, it's the first on the list for many Christian young people. She moves me. He moves me. How could love be so wrong if it feels so right? It could be wrong. Dead sure could be wrong. Compatibility, the ability to exist with each other, enjoyment, responsiveness, harmony, and many, many more. After 34 years of marriage, Mrs. Douglas and I still laugh together. Happened this morning. We were chuckling out the door. I'm almost belly rolling laughing. We still laugh together. We're responsive to each other. Yeah, she does have to get my attention sometimes. Dave, are you listening? Oh, yeah. What did I just say? I don't know. Could you repeat it? But for the most part, or some of the time, or every once in a while, I'm responsive. Communication. Reciprocity. What does that mean? You exchange. You reciprocate. The ability to exchange thoughts, ideas that intrigue or stimulate the intellect. Still, I could look back to our first date. I was Mr. Introvert. She was Miss Extrovert. But she brought this introvert out of himself. And we talked the entire date. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. When the evening came to an end, it was like, I don't want this evening to end. Communication. Communication. Last. Chemistry. Not first, not second, not third, last. It's a good bonus if there's chemistry. What is that? The brain chemicals that fuel attraction, desire, and attachment. It's last. It's not first. Let's move on. 1 Peter 3:3, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair and the wearing of gold or of putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great prize. Now, I'm going to say something to you guys that you're not going to believe. You should determine your wife more based upon the inner woman than the outer woman. Trust me. I do a lot of counseling. Can I just say, the majority of Hiles Anderson graduates go on to have a very happy marriage. But I lived in that life, that ministry, where I'm dealing, not so much since I came up here, dealing with marital counseling on a regular basis. And many of them Hiles Anderson graduates or former Hiles Anderson College students. And the attraction is what drew them together. There was no consideration of character, compatibility. They fought like cats and dogs. They hated each other. Some of the statements that I've heard them say to each other in the counseling room are just absolutely bizarre. You make me sick is not a makeup statement. I've heard that. A husband say that to a wife in the counseling room. They're now divorced. They did not receive any dating counseling. Zero. Zilcho. None. Nada. Foolishness, total foolishness. They didn't have an Eliezer to say she's a good man, she's a good woman, she's a good man. She's a good woman, he's a good man. It's your choice. It's your choice. Those are your four C's. That's the criteria. Character, compatibility, communication, chemistry. And that inner person is much more long-lasting and satisfying and enjoying than the facial features that are going to deteriorate. The inner person can get better day by day. Okay, you don't believe me. Let's move on. Number four, Abraham trusted the Lord. Isaac remained patient. Verse number one, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. I hope that could be said of each and every one of you. And the Lord had blessed you in all things. I feel I have lived this life right here. And the Lord has blessed Dave and Tina in all things. That can happen to any one of you. I look at Pete and Frida Callen. The Lord hath blessed you in all things. 24:63, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the evening tide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. Sarah was with him. What's that saying? Isaac was spending time with God when the caravan of camels and his new bride were coming back. That's an important statement, that you men pray for your wife. I can remember on Rice first floor, room 105, we would have, back in those days, prayer meetings. And here's some of the prayer requests of some of my roommates. Pray that I'll have a good choice of clothes tomorrow. I need to pray what kind of suit I should wear, what I should wear. And I'm about 4 or 5 years older then. I'm like, are you serious? Dave, what's your request? That God would give me a good wife. And I would tear up, literally, when I request that prayer. I wanted a good wife. I was tired of being single. The qualities of Rebecca, let's talk about you girls. First of all, her lineage, and all this is in chapter 24, verses 15 through 20, her lineage. She was of good stock. Somebody asked me about a young man. I said, he's good. Well, what do you know about him? I said, he's got good parents. That tells a lot right there. He's got good parents. Number two, her appearance. She was fair to look upon. She was pretty. Again, that's not everything, though. Isaac really lucked out there. He was blessed. Number three, her morality. She was a virgin. She was a pure. She was pure. Now, let me just stop and take a time out here. We've got students that have come here that were saved later in life and they didn't do everything right. And I'm going to say this a little bit later, but be careful how you judge people. Be very careful. I'll say more later. Number three, number four, her dedication. She went to draw water, as was the custom. Number five, she was generous. She gave Abraham's servant water to drink. Her consideration. He didn't ask, but she thought, you know what? Those camels need to be watered also. She offered to provide drink to the tired and thirsting camels. She went above and beyond. I'd have to think that Eliezer at this point says, found her, just like you said, Abraham, got her. Our first date, Mrs. Douglas and I, our first date, I took my last bite of food. She was on her feet. She said, can I get you more? I'm marrying you. Hello? I'm marrying you. Could have happened right there, but I had to go through the whole process. You get more than you expect when you turn your dating life over to the Lord. It's a bottom line. You get more than you expect when you turn your dating life over to the Lord. Next, finding favor with Rebecca's parents in disclosure, verses 33 through 38. Eliezer found favor through honesty and respect. Now look, I'm going to wrap this up because of the time. I can remember cavalier spirits back in my day saying, I asked so-and-so out for a date, and she said I had to talk to her dad. I ain't going to get permission from no dad. I would not comment it, but I look at that statement there, and I think, you don't deserve to date anybody. He and his wife raised her, stupid. You have every ethical responsibility to meet his requirements. And so Eliezer went to dinner with them. And before, and I'm just going to make this statement, it is neither ethical nor honest to conceal immoral background. And again, read it for yourself, verses 49-50. But before he would eat, he says, let's talk while I'm here. Told the whole story of how Abraham commissioned him to come find. He disclosed why he was there. I think it is unethical. I think it is dishonest if you have an immoral background. I'm not talking about before you were saved and you have several years to back up good behavior. I'm talking about you grew up in a Christian home, you went to a Christian high school, and you were immoral in any fashion or form. Immorality is much more than just sexual immorality. And you pretend to be a real nice, godly Hiles Anderson College student, and all you are is a wolf with sheep clothing on. And you get 6 weeks, 6 months into the relationship and say, oh, by the way, To me, that is so incredibly unethical and dishonest. And he disclosed right from day one, before they would even begin to eat, he said, let me just tell you why I'm here. He disclosed everything. And I understand that subject can be pretty tricky. Come to me if you need help with that. But you know, there's a lot of parents out there that just think everybody at Hiles Anderson College is a good, godly person. Well, the truth is, there's people here right now, girls and guys, you got really weak character. You didn't like that one either. Okay. It's neither ethical nor honest to conceal an immoral background. Here's some questions that need to be asked. Did it happen before or after salvation? How recent was this moral failure? Is there any evidence of true biblical repentance? Did the person receive biblical counseling after it happened? Not everybody's going to be perfect, but you need to have your convictions. Many of you have convictions. I will only marry somebody that is pure. I have no problems with that. I have no problems with that. But that is something you will have to decide on your own, hopefully with the help of your Eliezer. Whether it's your parents, your youth director, your pastor back home, or somebody here. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. God, I pray that you'll give great wisdom to these young people. I pray, Father, that they will pray for their spouse even at this moment. I pray that they will recommit to purity. God, thank you for these good people here. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.